gentlemen, broadcasting live from the Scintillation State Studio in Northern California, home of Ukulele J Barbecue, get your wood fired up and your charcoal burning as we get our smoke on with the worldwide streaming Trump Looking Good Live.
Smoke on, baby! Sunday, April 25th. We're going live with Dat Sauce, also Dat Ketchup. Scott Green's in the house, co-founder. We are going live. YouTube.com/UkuleleJBBQ. Thanks for joining everybody. Today's going to be an incredible day. We've got some awesome stuff to show everybody today. And we're going to be looking at some stuff on the bayou down in Louisiana. That's where Scott's at today. And before we get started with everything, we got some good stories. We got some video for you that you're going to absolutely love. We got a photo that's going to be incredible. And before we get started, though, of course, my sponsors really helped me out with all my cooking and helped me get this show going on the road. We've got Dr. Bill's Candy Maple Syrup, Dat Sauce, of course. We've got Georgia Earl's Barbecue Sauce, Knottywood Barbecue, Ocean State Pepper Company, Billy's Bacon, Voodoo Roasters Coffee, Brawla's Garlic Whip, Brawla's Best, and The Meat Stick. So with that being said, I'd like to welcome Scott on the show. Scott, welcome to the show. You're live with everybody on Strum Plutton Good.
Hey, how's it going, my friend?
It's going great, man. How are things down there today?
Oh, it's beautiful. Weather's beautiful.
Yeah.
Sunny and cool.
That's good because it's crappy
like California
and cold.
Weather.
Yeah, it's crappy and cold and it's raining today. So how about that? April showers bring May flowers, they say. But, you know, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I usually do this on Sundays. A little mini announcement for everybody is I'm going to move kind of to different days because a lot of guests, you know, got a lot of feedback. People love weekends, but I kind of like my weekends. I know you like your weekend, and so I hate intruding on a weekend, but I'm going to do this, I think, during the week, and maybe some weekends we're going to mix it up. So thanks for at least taking your Sunday because I know you're super busy. We've got so much to talk about today. Our guests are going to love hearing about the TV show that just filmed on your property, and we'll talk about that. It's going to be broadcast tonight for the opening. We'll talk about that as well. And you know, before we get started with all the great stuff, and you're a man of many, many stories, which is fantastic. Love talking to you. I know we could talk forever. First, you know, everybody wants to know the people behind the products. And, you know, it's not every day you get to talk to the founder of a company and hear, you know, what's happened to get them to where they're at today. And you have a fascinating background in history. So I'd like to get started with, you know, you telling us basically a little bit about you. Where'd you grow up? Did you go to college? And what got you started in the sauce business?
Well, I grew up right here in South Louisiana on the bayou. I mean, if you look behind me, you know, that's, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I had a bicycle, but I never used it because everywhere we went in a boat. It was quicker, easier, and a lot funner. You know, I grew up here, went to college at Nicholls State University, graduated in economics of all things, but you know, I switched my major my senior year because I could graduate a semester earlier in economics. Not that I'm an economics guy by no means, but it was a business degree and, you know, it sits on my wall. I've never really used it for anything other than letting it sit on my wall.
Well, I don't know about that. You got a very, very successful business. You're in over 3,300 stores across the country. I'd say that you might not think so, but I think that degree did help you just a little bit.
Well, you know, one of the things I remember most from college, one of my professors, and I tell kids this all the time, when people go through hard times or, you know, the one thing that sticks out, you know, in my college days is one professor said, where there's threat, there's opportunity. And then for every negative, there's a positive. And you just got to figure out how to turn it around, you know. So, you know, when I look at young kids and they're going through a hard time, and I just tell them, so look, you know, where there's threat, there's opportunity. And for every negative, you know, there is a positive and you got to search for it, but it is there. And so I could say I definitely got that from college and, you know, terminology and some of that other stuff, you know, when you're dealing with accounting and finance, you know, that does help a little bit too.
Yeah. That's but, so, So how did you get involved? I mean, you were in a different, I take it most people I've talked to did not start out in food. They started in something else. They kind of went into food. Was that kind of your path as well, or did you, for your family, start out making dat sauce or dat ketchup? What came
Well,
first?
I worked in the oil field, as a summer job when I was in college. And when I graduated college, I was in the oil field. Every job I could get with my degree, I made twice as much money in the oil field doing, inspection work or oil field work. So that led me from one thing. I ended up starting a oil field rental company. I had that for 10 years. I turned around, sold it, for a bunch of money. Then I started oil field rigging and inspection company. Had it for 2 years, turned around, sold it, made a bunch of money. And then I was done. I was retired. I had all the money I needed. I had a bought a house in Florida. And from that point on, I planned on just hunt, I bought a bunch of cows because my vision of retirement was sitting on the porch with a bunch of cows out there making babies and drinking, sitting on the porch drinking beer, watching, cows have babies. And that was an illusion. Anyone
Right.
that has that thought in their mind, scratch it, because cows aren't that fun. And
Well, you know.
they all work. And I'm a horrible cattleman, but I tell you what, it's I learn more and more every day, and it's not an easy job
It is tough
for
work,
sure.
and I can tell you, I'm involved with some ranchers, that are raising the Akayushi we talked about, the Wagyu cattle. And it is ass busting work. I mean, it is not fun and games. It is all serious business, and it's a lot of sweat. And we're going to talk about obviously dat sauce, dat ketchup. But since you brought the cow up, it's gonna. I was going to do it later, but we'll do it now because I think the audience is going to love this. I want to talk about a little situation you had a while back, and tell us about it. But as you do that, I'm going to show people a picture of this shot right here of you on the floor, you're bottle feeding the cow. Absolutely incredible. Tell us about that story and how that happened, because here's this big guy, you look like you break somebody's balls and you're on the floor with a little jug. It looks like you're in your, kind of like me in a pajamas top or jacket, and you're feeding this cow. So I want to hear the story, and I know all of our visitors do as well. So tell us about this cow.
Okay, well, I was at home one day, and this guy, on my property is a pump that pumps all the water. I guess all the subdivisions in this one town, all the water drains to this to the in these canals, and there's a big pump that pumps it out. Well, the guy that works at pumping station calls me up. And he said, "Hey, one of your calves, is sick. Something's wrong with it. It's not getting up." So I said, "All right, I'll come out there." And I went out there, and you could tell something had been eating on it. It ate the whole front shoulder, a hole
God.
in it, and you could see it. It was deep, and I mean, it ate it to the bone, and it was infected. In my mind, there was no way this thing was going to die, and most cattlemen would have put a bullet in his head. And if somebody called me and told me that they were in the same situation I was in, I'd tell them shoot it. That's the smart thing to do. The logical thing to do. I just couldn't do it, and I didn't do it. So I brought it home. It couldn't walk. I put it in my living room the first night. I tried to feed it, a bottle. The next day, my neighbor's a nurse. She came over, and I told her a deal, and it was bad. And she put a hose pipe in there, and you could see all the infection coming out and peroxide. And we started stuffing the wound with gauze and just kind of bringing it, everything you do. And it, if I had $1 million to bet one way or the other, I'd have said, no way is it going to make it. And I think anybody that would have saw it would agree. But it slowly started coming back, building up strength. We bottle fed it, like a baby every 2 or 3 hours. It was wanting to bottle it. I built a little fence in my backyard. If you could,
We
well,
see it. We see it. Yeah, we can
I,
see it on the video. Yeah, your
I,
little fence in the eating area.
I, yeah, yeah. So
It's great.
that was this yard, and it started getting healthy. And about 5 weeks, it got to the point where it was busting out of that fence. And so instead of bringing it back to the herd and putting it, I don't even know which cow was its mama, but instead of bringing it back to the herd and becoming part of the herd that would probably end up at an auction and probably slaughtered somewhere. I brought it to the petting zoo because it's, you know, it's tame. It, you know, all of my friends, their kids, they bring their kids over and grandkids over to feed it and pet it. And so, it, you know, got a little attached to it. And you know, a lot of the kids that came, you know, they all got attached to it. So we brought it to the petting zoo and I go check on it about once a week now, but it's, awesome. It's doing good. It has a whole bunch of friends over there and it's in no danger of being butchered.
So Scott Green does have a big heart. Big guy, tough guy, but you got a big heart. So that's great.
Don't
to see.
Tell nobody. I don't want that getting out.
All right, I won't tell anybody. Don't send the link to this interview to anybody because it's going to destroy you after this. So
yeah, that toughness. I don't want people to think I'm a sissy.
Yeah, well, talking about sissies, you have had an incredible experience with some TV shows filming on your property. Why don't you tell us about that? And there's something airing tonight. So what's going on?
So last year, toward the end of last year, we had Naked and Afraid XL.
Is that Naked and Afraid or Naked? Naked and Afraid.
Naked.
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 Naked. Okay.
Made right. a tomato. You know, no clothes.
Okay. On the swamps. All right, no clothes. Okay. Naked. And, free swinging, right?
So there was let's see, 7 guys and 5 girls, and they had 4. They start off with 4 camps. And I brought them out there. I'm telling you, the first day, half of them were ready to drag up. The mosquitoes were horrible. But they managed. A hurricane came. This was the first 60-day show. Okay. So they even made it through a hurricane. The last hurricane, which was the worst for me, I got the most damage from the last hurricane last year. I think there was 7 of them total that hit this area. But that was the only one that I had any damage with. And they stayed out during that as well. So 7 of them, well, I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to say.
Oh, don't say. We're not going to trouble. Tell me, though, the alligator story, because I know there was something happened with an alligator. And that probably isn't going to be on the show, right? But maybe. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, but... You know, when the hurricane came, I had a houseboat out there that the producers and stuff would go hang out at during the day if they had to go to the bathroom or, you know, just get out the weather. You know, it's a place they can make phone calls, do some work, whatever they wanted to do. It was out there. So when the hurricane was coming, I moved it closer to the set where, you know, the camps were and they had medics. And just in case they got in a bind, they needed a place to go. They had a houseboat to go to. So when the storm passed and I was moving it back on the location I originally had it, I was pulling it and we were going and I looked up, we were passing one of the camps and they had 2 naked guys standing on the side of the bank holding an alligator head up in the air and, you know, hollering, 8-footer, baby, 8-footer. I was like, my buddy was with me. I was like, man, you'll see that too often.
That's sure a visual. Enough. That's a hell of a visual.
So I can't wait. You know, like I said, I've never really watched the show prior to this,
yeah.
You know, but now I'm kind of curious because all the people that were out there, they're called legends, you know, so these are, you know, like the best of the best. They've already survived one of the other challenges that they do. And this is the first 60-day one and supposedly one of the hardest, which I would agree. I wouldn't want to go out there.
We'll watch tonight. I think it's airing tonight on what channel is it on? I think you're breaking up a little bit, Scott. Uh-oh. It's all that energy, man.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
7 o'clock on the Discovery Channel.
7 o'clock on Discovery Channel, Naked and Afraid.
We're going to watch that.
XL.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid XL.
XL. Okay.
And that will be on my property. Now, today, I brought some guys from the movie industry out there. And I think they're with the History Channel. I didn't even ask them. But I think it's some of the same people. If you've seen that movie Alone.
Yeah.
I think it's the same people. But I think they're calling it something different. 2 men in the woods. I don't even know what they're calling it.
All right.
But they're going to drop 2 guys out in the woods with their clothes on, and they're going to teach you how to survive, you know, in the woods. So now when we pulled up, to where their campsite's going to be, you know, we walked 20 yards and then we saw three snakes, a copperhead, a little copperhead, about a foot and a half.
Deadly.
Oh yeah. They're the worst because they, the young ones, they don't know to, they don't limit how much venom they put in. They don't know to conserve it. They just, when they bite you, they're throwing everything they got at you.
Wow.
So we saw one copperhead and one cottonmouth and one grass snake. Oh. So I asked the guy, the safety guy there, I said, well, look, you know, as y'all filming, I'd like y'all to keep track of how many snakes y'all see, how many of them are poisonous and how many of them aren't, because I'm, you know, curious to know the percentage of poisonous snakes versus non-poisonous. So he said he was going to do it. So I'm curious to see.
Wow. Well, those guys, it's two guys, no women, right?
Two guys, yes.
Yeah, because women aren't as crazy as guys are to go in with a bunch of cottonmouth and copperheads and
I'm sure they got them out there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They would love to do it.
Oh, my God, that's
crazy. If they're going to go out there and do it naked, you know, they have five of them that were willing to do it out there.
They're already naked out there, so why not do it with some clothes on?
Oh, I guarantee you, they'd love to come do it with the clothes on.
Man, well, I wouldn't want to do it unless I had chainmail on and probably a whole suit of that, so...
Well, when you come down here, we'll go out there, but I have a houseboat, and we'll make sure you have air conditioner, shower, and all the.
All right. Well, I'm carrying my gun because I don't any I hate snakes. So any snake I see is not going to live very long.
We like guns, and we like to shoot them with, you know, shoot snakes with guns.
All right. Well, let's barbecue some snake meat, man. That'll be delicious.
Yeah. Hey, I did kill a rattlesnake and cooked it, you know, just out of curiosity, and it wasn't bad. Just it was kind of like eating a crab, you know, a lot of work for a little bit of meat.
Right, right. Well, hey, I'm curious, you know, so what came first, the sauce or the ketchup? And by the way, I know some people will be upset at you because you don't have anything on your tables. I actually have it for you right here. I got the Dad sauce and I got the Dak ketchup, my favorite. It's in the kitchen all the time. And I know you got some good chefs that are out there on Instagram. I'm going to show some pictures also a little bit later that are using this. I sent this to some people and they are hooked. One guy just did a big video. You don't know yet, but he did a video this morning. Barbecue man, Oscar, he's in El Salvador, actually. And he did a huge video. I sent him this, the Dat sauce, Dat ketchup. He did a whole feast using the stuff. It looks incredible. When we're done with the show, I'll show you how to get onto that so you can see that, because I know social media isn't like your big, huge thing.
Well, when it came, you know, like I was telling you earlier, I retired, and my cousin, he had been making this sauce. His wife's grandfather used to make a sauce and they called it pop sauce. And he had asked my cousin, hey Don, you know, you want to learn how to cook it? My cousin was like, oh no, I'll just get it from you. You know, 'cause it was a big family secret, his whole recipe. And he was willing to share it with them, but he, you know, he was kind of bad. No, I'll just get it from you. Well, the grandfather passed away. And, so my cousin decided he was going to try to duplicate the recipe. So for 10 years he would make this recipe and he would tweak it and change it, and he'd make it for the family, hand out bottles, and they would always tell him, yeah, it's good, but it's not quite pop sauce. I mean, and my cousin went a little crazy way. He grew his own peppers. I mean, he did everything. And finally one day, you know, he made a batch and handed it to everybody, and yeah, it's good, but it's not quite pop sauce. And he got upset. He said, well, this isn't pop sauce, this is that sauce. So my cousin, his initials.
Oh, we lost your video, Scott. Oh, there. Oh, I think we lost your video. What's going on? I think Scott just lost his video. I'll have to wait here for him to get back. That was a great story. Scott just joined back here. Hopefully he can get back in. Let me get him back here. I think the Louisiana Bayou sucked him up. And while we're waiting for him to hopefully reconnect, we've got some other stuff here to show you. The thing that was really cool about talking to him is just the guy's got so many stories to go. And we're going to try to get him back on here briefly. This is a part of the fun of the technology. So hang tight with me, and hopefully his phone didn't go dead. And have him join back in. Okay, get him going on that. And hopefully, people watching the show tonight, you watch the TV episode that the Naked and Afraid XL, where the people were dropped off. And I know that there was a really bad hurricane that was going on at the time, which was insane. And they were out there naked, naked and afraid. I'd be afraid too in a hurricane situation. Hopefully, he can get on here. And I want to see that show tonight. That'll be on Discovery. That'll be really kind of nice. So Scott, hopefully you can get back on, and we're looking for you here. Here he comes. I figure we get him back. And Scott, we didn't have an alligator lose you, did we?
Hey,
there he is. What happened to you there?
Oh, I had a phone call. I'm on my cell phone, and I had a phone call, and it went blank on me.
Oh, yeah, phone call. That's okay.
I don't know how to undo that.
Well, that's fine. We'll go ahead and get you back in here. I thought maybe like a big alligator came out of the water and got you or something.
Well, anyway, so my cousin was making this, and he got upset, and he said, you know, this isn't pop sauce. This is dat sauce. So his name is Don Abner Tabor.
Okay.
And his initials are D-A-T. Okay. So in high school, the coaches and you know, all his friends called him Dat. So that's how he came up with the name. So the recipe is his recipe for the sauce, trying to duplicate his wife's grandfather's pop sauce.
Gotcha.
And so that's how we came up with the sauce. And then I would always mix the Dat sauce with ketchup. So I said, instead of doing this, why not just make a ketchup? You know, an all natural and you know, with the same thought process. And so we did, you know, it has the same exact ingredients in the ketchup as in the sauce, but different proportions. And the only difference, instead of having red pepper flakes that we have in the sauce, we have cayenne pepper in the ketchup.
You can see the red pepper flakes in the sauce here, right? Through that label.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And that's not in the ketchup, you said?
The red pepper flakes are not.
Okay,
heat, the little bit of spice that you taste is from cayenne pepper, but the sweetness is from the red onions. I mean, we cook down the red onions, the yellow onions, the garlic, all of that's in there.
Gotcha. Yeah. So the sauce came first, then came the ketchup.
Correct.
Go ahead.
Well, and it's you know I was in the oil field, you know, and I think. You know, I probably could have sold toilet paper in the oil field and been successful, you know, and the only thing dumber than going from the oil field to the food industry, thinking you're going to be successful is going from the food industry to the oil field, knowing nothing, thinking you're going to be successful because neither one of them was smart. And you know, I've done them both and I was very fortunate, you know, in both occasions that, you know, to find my path and make my way through it. But It's definitely a challenge, and it's definitely different than the oil field.
Yeah. Now, with that being said, you're in over, I think, what is it, over 3,300 stores across the U.S.? Is that the count?
Yeah. And we're talking to some of the big boys right now and, you know, crossing my fingers that, you know, that number could double real quick, if not triple.
Wow. Well, that's going to be really exciting. I really wish you the best for that because – I mean, you are in, of course, the Ukulele Joe Barbecue Kitchen. That's the most important kitchen, of course. I know that was critical for you. So you're there. We had another guest in the show, Chef Gasan Nelson. You know, he's a big dat sauce, dat ketchup guy. Fantastic chef. He loves the sauce. And, you know, it's catching on like wildfire, man, in the barbecue community. People can't get enough of it. And the thing that's great about the sauce and the ketchup I love is, people ask me, well, is it ketchup? And I tell them, it's not really ketchup. But it's not barbecue sauce, and you know, right? You understand? It's hard to explain to somebody until they actually taste it, and then they're like, "I know what you're talking about." You're right; it's not barbecue sauce, but it's not ketchup like Hunt's ketchup, which I don't like that kind of ketchup. But and same with the sauce. You know, it's not hot and spicy. When I first saw it, you know, a little bit of hot with a whole lot of flavor. Great saying, great slogan. But it's not that hot, really, because you can tone it down. You know, you can add it to every kind of food. It's not just like a hot sauce. That's what I think is fantastic about it. So,
well, you know, they complement almost anything, you know, so, you know, even if your favorite hot sauce is Tabasco and you want to add some flavor to Tabasco, put some dat sauce on it. it complements that. You know, it A1 salt. If you like A1 with your steak, add some dat sauce to it and taste it then. And I'm telling you, it makes everything taste better. So does it, you know, it's not, you know, a lot of people look at, well, you have to have one or the other, but you don't. You know, you just imagine some cooked down onions, garlic, and, you know, tomatoes and peppers all cooked down and add it with whatever recipe or seasoning that you like. You know, if you like, you know, some dry, you know, Tony's backyard seasoning, you know, one of those, or barbecue sauce, it doesn't matter. You add it to whatever you like the best and see if it doesn't make it better.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you, my mother-in-law, and she cooks a ton. Has this you know, kind of shrimp prawn cocktail recipe, and you know, the sauce was good, but you know, it was one of those things we had in the family for a long time, you know, 20 something years. She ended up tasting the sauce, and you know, she's really mad at me because whenever I get these great products and I let her taste them, she ends up going buying them. And she bought a case of the dat sauce, dat ketchup. She got a case of it, and now she used that with her prawn cocktail, and it is the most amazing cocktail with your sauces. Whole new level, which shows you can take something that you've done for years, and if you just want to step out of the box a little bit, try something new. And she's always good about that, is trying something new. It really elevated it to a whole different dish. So it was really amazing to see that actually transform, which was really cool. You know, so with that said, you're also a big part of the military. So tell us, you know, your involvement in the U.S. military. I think it's a fascinating story. People that are watching this interview are going to be amazed. And, you know, I have some follow-up questions because there's other people I know on Instagram and my friends that are getting sauces out there and things. And the biggest trouble is, how do I get out there? How do I get big? How do I make money and not sell, you know, just 20 bottles a month? I want to sell 2,000 bottles a month or 200,000 bottles. How did you, you know, tell us your involvement in that, and how did you get involved in that? How did it happen?
Well, the United States military is probably the biggest customer in the world. So, you know, if you're in the, you know, what I've learned in the food industry, either you can spend a whole lot of money on marketing, commercials, and, you know, or, you know, have that one customer that will, you know, like for us, it's the military. You know, it could be a restaurant, it could be whatever. But for us, it was the military, and they took it in. They liked it. They sent it out to, we're in what they call the UGRA, which is the Unitized Group Rations, and the A stands for the Army. Okay. So anytime the Army does any type of training exercise or during war times, they set up these mobile kitchens. So when they set up a mobile kitchen, they send food out to the soldiers in what they call a module. So each module will feed 50 soldiers. They'll have everything they need to feed 50 napkins, dessert. So if there's a steak, you know, say they go treat, you know, it's Friday, they're gonna have a steak day, and there's 50 soldiers out there. They'll get a module that'll have 50 steaks. They'll have, you know, the plastic forks, knives, paper plates, and they'll have 2 15-ounce bottles of that sauce for awesome. Steak day.
This is 5. They have 15 ounces, you said?
Yeah.
These are 5 ounces, right? 5 ounces.
Yeah. So what happened with that? That's funny. So we go to the military food show. I had a friend said, man, you need to get your product in the military. I said, well, I'd love to do that. How do I do it? And he said, well, you need to go to this food show. It's called the RNDA Military Food Service. So he told me, I was a little skeptic. I said, well, you know, how about, he said, just come as my guest and I'll introduce you to everybody. And so I went, and of course he introduced me to everybody. And so the next day, you know, so I met one that I call it a gatekeeper. She's like, you know, Miss Beverly, she was the one that, you know, to get into this particular, you know, if you take the military and you have this great big old pie and you have to slice it up. Of course, you got the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force. Well, we're in the Army, which is, you know, say that the slice is the size of my living room. So the recliner is the UGRA. You know, okay. Then they got the MREs, which is the sofa. You know, there's the dining facility. There's so many commissaries. Wow. There's so many different aspects. But, you know, I felt like the UGRA was being... Miss Beverly was the main lady. So I'm, you know, I focused on her and I gave her a sample. And she brought it home, and you know, and I get a phone call a few weeks later from Miss Beverly, you know, like, and she goes, "Scott, I have a problem." And you know, he said, I took your product out of my pantry. I was all excited. I'm going to try to use it. And I went to undo the cap. And when I unscrewed it, the glass broke right at the, where the threads were.
Worst thing that's happened to you, right?
The only time it's ever happened.
Of course.
And the one lady, the gatekeeper, who, you know, you got to go through her to get in. I mean, there's a whole bunch of levels that you got to go. You know, the soldiers had the final say. So the soldiers vote you in or out.
Oh,
so it's not political. You know, if the soldiers like your product, you know, you when you go out to field trials, it's the soldiers that say yes or no. But before you get to field trials, you have to go through so many steps. And the first one is Miss the gatekeeper. And when she called me and told me that it broke at the cap in the thread, my heart dropped. And I was like, the only time it's ever happened, and it happened to her. I was, so she asked me if I could find a plastic bottle.
Okay.
And I said, well, I will search high and low. And I found a facility, you know, a place that had some. We did all, you know, of course, I had to do all this fast throttle because, you know, while it's a 2-year process to get in, you know, 2 years sounds like a lot of time. But I'm telling you, every deadline, I mean, we made it just one thing after, you know, getting everything tested, everything done, you know, having it, you know, cooked right. You know, just we had to go to a whole different facility to have it co-packed. And but
that's exciting.
The bottom line is we did it. And
that's
it went in and they love it. And, you know, we've been getting a lot of positive feedback.
So now why aren't you in the Marines, the Air Force and the Navy?
Well, you know, we have a food show in June and they'll all be there and they've all had it. They've tried it. The Navy, we met with, this was the East Coast chef. He loved it. He wanted it in there, but he said it was too expensive. But he was comparing us to regular, you know, hot sauce, the vinegar and water hot sauce.
Right.
So he wasn't comparing us to
apples,
you know,
apples.
It wasn't apple, you know, like an all-purpose, you know, flavor sauce, you know. So he did, you know, Air Force, we approved to go in the Air Force. There's just a whole, every branch has their own little process you have to go through.
Right.
And we're approved to go to all of them. And we were really planning on being in all of them by this time right now. I would love to have said, and I thought we would by now be in every branch. But, you know, when COVID hit, it kind of shut everything down. They quit taking new products. So this food show that we have coming up in June will be the first one since COVID. And it's going to be both online and in person. But we're going to go in person.
Well, good luck. I hope you get it because they certainly deserve to have your sauces. Now, this is in this ketchup one is in a plastic bottle.
Yeah.
The sauce is in a traditional glass bottle. Did you make a plastic one of this, like, for example, to send to them?
It's a 15-ounce one.
Okay.
And now we did have some, the first batch of military product that we sent out, the 15-ounce, we did sell some of that online, but we don't sell any of the 15-ounce to any of the grocery stores. It's all the little bottles.
That's a 12-ounce. You know,
some of the restaurants.
12-ounce.
The restaurants, we'll push, you know, they want the gallons, so we'll get them the gallons. You know, I guess if somebody called and said, hey, send me, you know, this many pallets of the 15-ounce, I would do it.
Sure.
I would, you know.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, we could do anything we want.
Why not, right? So,
yeah.
You know, well, this is just fascinating. And you got so many stories. And one of the things that's awesome is, you know, all my viewers are barbecue. Of course, I'm barbecue and I, you know, consider myself also, you know, kind of the chef in the kitchen when I don't do pure barbecue. And that's why I love the Dat Sauce Stack ketchup because I use it on everything. But you have an incredible grill. I hope we don't lose connection. I just got a glimpse of it. Can we show people what you're cooking dinner, I think, tonight, right? On this grill.
Will.
So go ahead and take it. You're good. Take your phone and As long as nobody calls you, I think we'll be good. I want people to see this. This barbecue is awesome. My wife would look crazy. I'm like, so, I want this in my backyard, but this is awesome.
So I used to have a rigging and inspection company.
Look at that.
And we sold chains and latches and binders and shackles. So I had one of my guys weld all this up. You know, it's old. It hadn't been painted or anything in a while, but you know, you can kind of see. So, you know, then you got the inside where you light the fire right there, and then you grill right here.
Wow.
So
I mean, we've had people, chain, that's all chain around the outside of it.
That's all chain. Each link is welded. Let's see if you can get in. But each, there's a weld between each.
Holy cow.
To hold it up. And then there's a footrest down here. Same thing.
A footrest. You have to put a footrest on your barbecue.
Well, if you have a chair, if you have a bar stool there.
That's true. You add fire on it and then you sit out like a hot fire and roast marshmallows on or something?
So you were asking me about a mud boat earlier. Since I got up, I figured I'd show you a mud boat. So
mud
boat is an aluminum boat. It has a car engine, a V8, and with a shaft going through the floor. So there's the
oh wow,
can you see that? So that's the engine.
Oh, I got excited. Yeah, I thought that was a grill or a smoker.
So you know, there's the fuel tank. You sit on the fuel tank right behind the engine.
That is
and
awesome.
And then underneath it has a big old propeller. Can you see underneath that?
Oh yeah, I see it. But how come they say it's a mud boat? If that propeller goes in mud, doesn't that thing just gunk up and it just gets stuck?
No, you understand. There's a V8 engine. 350 or however many horsepowers it has, and when you put it in gear, it goes. It cuts a ditch. It goes through mud.
Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, if however deep the water is in front of you, once you drive through it, it's 3 feet deep behind you.
Oh my God! Wow, that's a lot.
So there we go. We back.
It's all right.
This is my morning office right here. So
isn't the area where Wagyu was at behind you?
So Wagyu was, that was his pasture right there.
That was it. That we saw the video now, on.
Yesterday I showed you that that tree that I had two. The tree went pros this year. It killed this beautiful, some kind of lily flowers. You know, it's a beautiful flower. But when it freezes, it kills it. So it was a big, I was ready to cut it down, and I showed it to you yesterday, but they had two ducks in there with a nest.
They finally
hatched their babies, and the nest moved. So I was looking at it yesterday. I said, well, I need to cut this down. And I had an idea last night. Instead of cutting it down, I threw gas on it, and I burnt it. So, you know, that's, if you remember yesterday.
Oh, yeah. It's all, you got rid of it.
Yeah. I burnt it. So now it's going to be a lot easier to go cut.
Where are the ducks going to have their babies now with the duck eggs?
Well, it'll grow back, you know, in a couple of weeks.
Oh, in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, it won't take long.
It's like hypergrowth over there. What do you like to barbecue? I mean, and don't say hamburgers and hot dogs.
Well, you know, I like an open fire.
Push your phone up a little, Scott. Your phone's a little down. I want to see that beautiful mug of yours.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Up a little bit more. There we go.
So I like over open fire. You know, if I want to smoke it, then typically what I'll take is a aluminum foil, and I'll put it over the fire. And that aluminum foil, you know, from one end of the grill to the other.
Right.
And that'll catch the smoke. So I can still use an open fire and smoke stuff. It's just not a traditional smoker. You put a piece of aluminum foil over your meat.
Right.
And it'll capture that smoke. So it'll give you that same smoke. But I love an open fire. I cook with oak, pecan, mesquite, hickory. You know, I get my hickory from Missouri when I go deer hunting. I get my mesquite from Texas when I go deer hunting. My pecan and oak I get from around here. So I like my wood. You know, even if I'm using a traditional fireplace with charcoal, I always like to have at least one piece of wood in there.
Wood chunk.
To me, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, I don't want to knock people that use charcoal because I see the value in charcoal and, you know, having a good, you know, cold, you know, steady heat. But when you're talking flavor, it's hard to beat a good, you know, good wood, a pecan or, you know, mesquite's kind of strong, but if you let it burned down, it's not so bad. But you know, I like pecan, I like oak, I like mesquite.
One thing you didn't mention that's like pecan that we have a lot of here, because I'm near what they call the Central Valley, which is the agricultural belt here in California, is use a lot of almond wood. Have you used almond wood before?
No.
It's fantastic. It's almost like pecan. It's so close. I call it like the cousin. If you cook with pecan and almond and close your eyes, it'd be really close. I think it'd be hard to tell what it was, but it's got that really nice mild smoke to it. Not as much bite as like an oak, you know, there as well, especially not like a mesquite or a hickory. But what kind of meats do you like cooking? I mean, is there like a favorite? Well, if you had one meat to cook, what would you pick?
Well, you know, most of the stuff we cook, it's stuff we either catch, kill, or we do alligator, we do deer meat, we do shrimp, we do fish. You know, we do it all. You know, it's hard to beat a steak, though. You know, it's
yes, it is.
You know, if I only have one meat, I got to cook it on a fire. I mean, I want a big, fat, juicy ribeye.
There you go. Ribeye. It's like number one. I think most people are all take a ribeye, you know. Alligators is always fascinating to me because it's so abundant there. And I know that when I was in New Orleans a few years ago, went to a place that served like alligator dogs and things. When I talked to them about how they make it, it's never 100% alligator. And I guess they add pork or something to it because the meat is so dry. What do you guys see, an alligator?
I was looking because they normally, you'll see a couple of them swimming around here. They normally have them here in the backyard, but.
And your snakes. And
your... Oh, yeah.
You saw the yesterday.
Snakes, alligator,
Jeez.
We have all the critters.
Yeah. How, so
the mosquitoes are the worst.
The mosquitoes, I know they are the worst. I'm glad when I was down there, I was not. Well, we were on the water, but we were on the boat, the airboats, but we didn't have any mosquitoes because I think we were doing like 60 miles an hour. I don't think they could keep up with us.
Yeah.
How do you prepare alligator when you cook it?
Well, you know, you can grill it on the pit. You can fry it. You know, I think a lot of people, most people that can say they ate alligator probably said they had it in a restaurant, alligator bites, little bitty nuggets. But you know, I like it on the grill with a little dad sauce, dad ketchup, and honey. You know, Dr. Bill's syrup is, you know, I got some samples of that, and I'll tell you what, it's, you know, there's certain seasonings that really bring out, you know, like I said, you can add them to anything. You
right.
know, my honey is one thing I used to use on almost anything. Yep. You know, I always like a little bit of sweet and a little bit of heat, mm-hmm. you know, so when, you know, it's kind of like salt and pepper, you know, a lot of people, if you only had three seasons, what are you going to use? I mean, you know, do you have a pepper? Do you have salt? Do you have, you know, if you had to do a combination sweet, heat, and sodium, you know, what are you going to do? Of course, has a combination of all, but, you know, you're looking for that. You know, I use honey on almost everything.
Honey's great, but you mentioned Dr. Bill's. Dr. Bill's.
Dr. Bill, he, I got some of his product, and I tell you what, it was awesome. And we used it. I used it in place of honey until I ran out and had to go back to honey. But I liked it. It has a unique flavor, and definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I've actually used it quite a bit. I've used that with actually the DAT sauce, some of the sauce I made, and it is absolutely incredible because it brings that heat in, that tanginess with the sweetness. But it's not so sugary, you know, like a honey's really strong, pronounced, you know, flavor that almost overpowers some things. People use too much of it. But, it's great. So I love the fact how you can blend all these sauces. And that's what I love doing is taking – I call making flavor babies, y'all. I make flavor babies. So, I take different sauces.
So I'm going to give you a recipe. I'm going to give you a recipe in your viewers real quick.
Okay.
So if you take a salmon or any kind of fish,
right?
You know, and you want something that's quick, easy, and out of this world, this is it. Whatever slab of fish you got, doesn't matter. Take the shittiest, the worst or the best fish you got.
Yeah.
Season it however you want to season it. Salt, pepper, you know, your dry seasoning. Take your pan, a little bit of olive oil in it. bring it like a medium high heat. Put your fish in there. Now, when you flip your fish, you know, cook it for a little while till you see it, you know, almost halfway through. Flip it. And when you flip it, pour some dat sauce, some dat ketchup. You know, I like to do 50-50. You know, it could be 60-40, 70-30. However you, I mean, you figure it out yourself, you know, what you like the best. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Dr. Bill syrup, honey, you know, that little on top of it, you know, not too much, but just enough. And then a little piece of butter. And then you stir it around in there. And when that butter melts and all those seasonings blend, you just shake your little pan and you slide out and pour that sauce on top of it. Unbelievable. Now, if you want to go a step further, you can chop up some onion, you know, some red onions, some onions, bell peppers, whatever, and put in that, you know, when you put the fish in, you can put that in, let it start softening. By the time you mix everything together and your fish is ready, you stir it all up and pour that on top of it. I see you licking your lips.
You're getting hungry, man. I had a little breakfast. That was it. I'm waiting to eat.
Now, look, that same recipe, you could do a chicken thigh, a chicken breast, a steak. You know, but that little combination, you know, a little bit of ketchup, you know, that dad ketchup, that dad sauce, and, you know, that little sweet, you know, Dr. Bill's, honey, you know, and then if you run, you know, some green onions or red, you know, chopped up real small, put it in there. Like when you first put the fish in there, like I said, put it off to the side. When you flip that fish, because your fish, you don't want to overcook it. You want it, you know, kind of a medium.
Right.
Where it has a little, especially if it's salmon, you want it kind of medium rare. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, you pour that sauce on top of it afterward and you eat it.
Sounds good.
You'll think you have something special.
We got a bunch of people on YouTube that are actually in the chat. And one of the questions came up for you specifically, Scott, was what was the most uncommon thing or the strangest thing that you've ever put that ketchup on?
Oh, well, that ketchup, I could tell you, you know, I went through a little phase where, you know, I felt like that sauce made this was just before the ketchup.
Okay.
So I'll answer that question specifically, but I went to an Outback Steakhouse restaurant and I was like, you know, and I brought my own bottle of that sauce. And I said, well, I'm going to try everything on. So I ordered all the appetizers and I put it on everything. I said, man, this tastes good on everything. So I said, well, I'm going to try dessert. So I had a brownie or some kind of little brownie they had with a scoop of ice cream. And I put that sauce on it just to try it. It didn't work. Don't do that. Yeah, I can say without a doubt, ice cream and brownies and that sauce do not go together at all.
Well, hey, at least you're an honest man and go, oh, it was so delicious, because then we know you're BS.
No. I tried a Reese's Pieces, you know, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh, my favorite. That's my favorite.
That didn't work. Then no. Don't mix that sauce or that ketchup with it. It doesn't work either.
All right. That's a good story.
So oh, I can't tell you it's good with everything, but Oma, I can say with honesty, almost anything you put it to, it'll make it taste better.
Right. Yeah, you know, and one of the things that I do is I show an Instagram feed. You won't see it, but there's a lot of people, believe it or not, that are out there. I got some dat sauce in some hands of some incredible cooks and barbecuers. And one of the guys who's a friend of mine, he's actually in Atlanta. He actually did an incredible brisket smoked queso. And it's by At Savory Smoker. And you'll have to check it out, man, because there's people that are doing some incredible stuff with the dat sauce. And he's got it right in there. Adding dat sauce to your favorite dip recipes is a game changer. So, you know, that's just a compliment to you on how great things are. And then somebody who I think you know, I got your feed here, incredible photos that are on the feed. Another one that I thought was just amazing looking at your feed was by Chef Johnny G. And she has a whole bunch of stuff on here that is just absolutely incredible.
Catfish Town, USA. Yeah,
Crawfish Town, USA is on there, and pulling up this po' boy that is absolutely fantastic with lettuce, tomatoes, spicy mayo, made with dat sauce and fried jalapenos with a side of onion rings. That just, God, we do have one place here that does po' boy. He's actually from New Orleans, and he opened a restaurant right in Castro Valley, my little town, And so we go there, and he has truly authentic New Orleans food, and it's amazing. But, you know, that's the only place you can get it. There's nowhere else in Northern California that serves food like this. And she has just done incredible dishes that I love seeing on your feed. So if people haven't checked it out, you got to go check out the Dat Sauce LA feed on Instagram, because it is really incredible. It's got, you know, amazing people. And, of course, I got to pull up a picture, Scott, of you and Chef Ghassan, who was on the show here before you. And you guys are there cooking. Of course, he's got a pan in his hand like always. And it looks like he just it's too easy, right? Too easy?
Yeah. Well, Chef Ghassan, he and his daughter came with us this past weekend to our camp in Lafitte.
Oh, right.
So we went bow fishing. We shot an alligator gar. And we're going to probably cook that in the next day or two. And then we were riding around in the airboat, and his daughter shot a wild boar, a wild pig.
Wow.
We were riding, and she shot it. And I'll tell you what, you know, you wear these ear protections in the airboat to protect your ear. But when his daughter shot that pig, I mean, you could hear Chef Ghassan. I mean, he was hooping, and he was so excited. I mean, I needed ear protection from him, not the engine. You know, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was pumped up.
Oh,
so, matter of fact, it's that meat is in the ice chest, you know, about 10 yards from me. And he's supposed to come over here and cook it.
Oh, so awesome. Wow.
We have the alligator gar that he's never seen, never even heard of. So this will be his first time cooking it.
Wow.
And then we have a pig. So, you know, a wild pig. So, yeah, they came out there, slept at the camp with us. We had a good time, and we got to shoot a garfish with the bow and arrow and a pig, you know, out the airboat.
That sounds amazing. I can't wait when I take my tour over to New Orleans and Morgan City. We're going to have a good time going out there, hopefully do some hunting, fishing. You said it's jug lining. I don't know what jug lining is, but I'm sure it's some Cajun thing that I got to get dirty doing, right?
Well, it's fishing for catfish, but it's the lazy way. You take a jug and you take a piece of string, you know, maybe 10, 15 feet long, tie a weight to it. And then about 2 feet below the jug, you tie a leader with a hook.
Okay.
So you bait the hook, you throw it out, you know, you throw out 20 jugs and you ride around, you know, drink your favorite beverage and listen to music. And by the time you set them out and you take a little ride and you come back, they, you know, you have fish on them already.
Wow.
Do
you have to go down? Like, do you go and stick your hand? What's that thing they do? Noodling? Do you ever go noodling down there?
No, we have too many snapping turtles over here.
Yeah, what are
you know what? They hang out in the same place as catfish do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Anybody who's been noodling, stuck their hand there and got bit by a snapping turtle?
Well, you know, be honest with you, I don't know. You know, people ask me about going new one. I said, yeah, you can go new all you want, but, you know, I'm not going to do it.
So it's the one thing you won't do. You won't be noodling back there, right there in the back down there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well,
but, yeah, I tell you what, you know, it's I think we need to open up a chef class, you know, and maybe we'll get, you know, some of these local chefs to you know, go down to Bayou and, you know, this is how you do it. You know, these chefs from out of, you know, I go to restaurants all the time. When I go to my friend's house out of state, they all want to go to their Cajun restaurant, or they want to eat, you know, Louisiana this, Louisiana that. And the hardest thing to find, even in Louisiana, for me, the hardest thing to find is a good gumbo.
Really?
You know, it's no matter what restaurant, I mean, now don't get me wrong, there's some excellent ones out there, but they're so hard to find. You know, when I go to a restaurant and they have gumbo, I always get a cup just to taste it. But I can tell you 9 out of 10 times I taste a gumbo, it's not a gumbo. It's nothing even close to a gumbo.
Is that because they're missing some dat sauce in it?
Well, that's definitely one thing missing, but there's some season they put in there and I couldn't even tell you what it is.
Well, what's a good gumbo to you? When you say it's not like, what is like, oh my God, this is amazing gumbo. What does it have to have the components? Cause for us West Coast people, I've been there, I've had gumbo, but I mean, it tasted okay. I don't know if it's good, bad, you know, cause we don't have that out here.
Well, you know, my son's, his 22nd birthday is next month. And he wanted me to cook for him. I said, well, what do you want? I'll cook anything you want. and he wanted a chicken and sausage gumbo.
Okay.
That's he you know, I'm thinking ribeye, I'm thinking all this, you know, fried shrimp, I'm thinking, and he came up with chicken and sausage gumbo, and he said, well, that's my favorite. So I was like, well, chicken and sausage gumbo, you're going to get.
Well, so now, how do you do it? What are the components in it that make it so good?
Well, you make a roux, of course.
Right. Flour and butter, right?
Well, there's 100 ways to make a roux. Some people use no grease in the oven. So, you know, I do it old school. I have the oil. You know, I cook it on high heat because some people spend 4 hours on a roux. I don't do that,
wow.
You know, but, you know, I put it on high heat and I, you know, you got to constantly stir it and, you know, cook it all in flour. Now you have to have your roux right for your gumbo to come out right. So, but, you know, that's pretty easy to get. You know, you look at the consistency, you don't want it too thick and you don't want it thin. You just want it somewhere in the middle. And with me, when my roux is almost done, when I'm about to, well, actually I turn it off. Then I add vegetables to it, you know, onions, bell peppers, you know, so, you know, I put a handful in there and it starts cooking and that roux gets darker. It gets almost black and I stir it up and I just put it off to the side and it'll stay cooking. It'll cool off and it gets darker and darker as those vegetables cook. Don't ask me why. I don't know the science behind it, but when you pull it off the heat and you add those vegetables, it gets 3 shades darker after
wow.
that.
What vegetables do you add?
Well, onions, bell peppers, celery. Sometimes I buy it already. You know, when I want to cheat, I buy the frozen already mixed, and I'll throw that in there. But I always put a fresh onion, you know, at least one or two. But, you know, like I said, I have friends that, you know, for them to cook a gumbo, it's 7 to 8 hours. But, you know, they spend 4 hours on the roux and, I don't believe you have to do all that, you know, and like I said, there's some people don't like to cook with oil. So they,
right.
you know, flour in the oven or flour on a black iron pot, or they make a roux with butter. There's no wrong way to do it. It's just, you know, do it till it's right.
Right.
You know, but anyway, you get your roux first and your stock is always good. You know, you got to have a seafood gumbo. You want to, you know, if you have seafood stock, you know, whether it's crabs, shrimp shells, or when you make your stock, that's a key ingredient. You know, you can buy chicken stock from the store, which is good. You know, you add that to, you know, I always like, you know, half and half. If you use all stock, just to me, it's a little salty. It's just not,
right.
You know, but I'll go half and half with the water, you know, and of course I add more onions, more garlic, bay leaves, you know, I use chicken thighs and chicken breasts. I like to debone mine. You know, it's good to have a little bit of skin in there just for flavor, but not too much. Whether you leave the bone going off, it doesn't matter.
Sounds you awesome. Know. Well, we have another question come up, and then we're going to wrap up our 2 o'clock hour. And Barbecue Man was asking, are you going to come out with any new flavors or any new products on the works?
Well, you know, I wanted to do a Bloody Mary. You know, if you that
Bloody
would
Mary.
Probably...
Mm.
Yeah. Bloody Mary would be my
good
if I had
idea.
To go to one just because I make a Bloody Mary with the sauce and the ketchup.
Okay.
And it's great. So I just felt like that would be a good and I have so many friends that play music and in bars and we're in restaurants that it would be a real good compliment. I like the Bloody Mary, but you know, I could probably come up with 100 items. But what I think I would like to do is try to promote my product that complements, you know, there's, you know, I don't need to come up with a barbecue sauce. There's a million good barbecue
right.
sauces out there. I would be one of a million.
Right.
But if one of them barbecue sauces added that sauce to it, you know, it would make a hell of a difference. And if you put, you know, so-and-so's barbecue with that sauce, you know, it would, you know, people that like that sauce would see that and odds are they would buy it just because of that.
Right.
You know, same thing with green beans, you know, that sauce and green beans is awesome, but I don't want to go start a line of green beans, but if there's a green bean company out there that wants that sauce in it, you know, I'll sell you the that sauce. And, you know, so I really don't think I want to do you know, I originally thought, you know, having, you know, 6 or 8 products, you know, from a salad dressings to, you know, I thought barbecue, right. I thought all of them, you know, because, but, you know, it's so expensive to get a product out there right. and get it that, you know, I'd rather promote it, you know, how like sriracha or, you know, there's certain flavors that you can add to anything. And it right. kind of, it, you know, it complements it, you okay, know, depending well, on what you want.
Everybody go out and get some Dat Sauce, Dat Ketchup. Absolutely fantastic stuff. You get it at Dat Sauce online. They've got a store and in 3,300 plus stores across the U.S. Scott, you are amazing. I cannot wait to see you later this year. We're going to be cooking up a storm, hunting, fishing, and we'll go live and show everybody what's happening out on the bayou when I get there. How's that sound?
Sounds awesome. Look, don't forget, on each bottle of Dat Sauce and Dat Ketchup, there is a code on there. You check it. There's a code.
Oh, yeah, there
you
is.
Go to our website. If you go to our website, enter that code, you get over $100 worth of free music downloads. So these are all our friends and that awesome songwriters, musician songwriters. This is songs that they wrote themselves. You know, we have, you know, some blues, some gospel, some country.
There better be some ukulele stuff on here.
Yep. If you got a song you want to put on there, I know a guy that knows a girl that can make that happen.
Sounds like a good man. Well, hey, Scott, thanks a million for having a good time, and we're going to see you soon.
All right.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks. And everybody watching, we'll be up for some more interviews. Stay tuned for Strum Plutton Good Live. We got great stuff coming on the rest of the year, and I'll be out in the bayou later on this year doing some live stuff. So thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for spending your time on a Sunday, and we love everybody out there. And remember, smoke on, baby.